This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
October 22nd of 2024. Nice start here in north central Wisconsin. Partly cloudy skies, a little bit of sunshine poking through. Temperature stands at 56 degrees here at our downtown studios, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is our number two of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to Facebook.com. Go to the 98.9 WXCO page. Click on our link to see a video stream. You can add your questions or comments there. And you can also join us by calling or texting us. Number one, do it through the Civic Media app. Got a button to call, got a button to text, but we also have a number. And the number is the same for both calling or texting, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Coming up here during the second hour of the program at 9:34, we'll be joined by Emily Horn. She is a former member of the National Security Council in the Biden-Harris administration. We'll talk about national security issues as we are just 14 days away from Election Day. So Emily Horn, a former NSC member, at 9:34 this morning. And then at the final portion of the show, we will have our daily history lesson and our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. And Ian, we'll say good morning to you, our in-studio engineer.
Morning, Chad.
Ian, we will talk about giving you a little preview of the topic for your number for the day coming up in just a few minutes. But first, okay. Every other Tuesday, we focus on the Marathon County Public Library, and it's the start of a new era. Yes, Chad Daly has moved on to different pastures down in the Portage County area, but we're still very happy to talk about what's happening at the library with Robin Vargas.
Yeah,
Robin,
good morning.
Good morning. And for your position at the Marathon County Public Library?
Yeah, I'm the marketing specialist for the library.
Perfect person to be able to talk about what's going on at the library. And, you know, this time of year as we get into the true fall, does the activity start to ramp up even more than maybe in the summer? Or is it basically pretty consistent throughout the year?
It's pretty consistent, yeah. We really only have a couple of, really like May kind of slows down for us as we ramp up towards summer. And then a little bit in September we'll slow down just to kind of catch our breath after summer because there's a lot happening. But really throughout the rest of the year we try and be pretty steady and consistent and offer programming year-round.
And that's the thing. There's so much programming going on at the library, not just here in downtown Wausau, but throughout the county at all the branch libraries as well. And I would encourage people to go to the Facebook page and also to mcpl.us to get a complete listing. But in terms of... is there anything we usually would talk about, anything interesting that's been going on at the library, any events that really popped through in the last week or two since we last talked?
Yeah, for sure. So tonight, actually, we have this documentary that we're showing. It's all about the closure of some of the University of Wisconsin two-year colleges. That's kind of been happening throughout the last couple of years, and there's a couple more closures coming up in spring of 2025. So this is just a documentary all about that. So we'll be screening that. And then the film's director is actually joining us and he'll be available after for kind of a Q&A to kind of, you know, get some more info about the documentary and pick his brain a little bit on it. So yeah, we're really excited to show that tonight.
What time is that at?
That's at 5:30 tonight at our Wausau location upstairs in the community room.
I think I might have to pop by for that one, because actually it's very interesting that you bring this up, because one of the other hosts on our station, the 12 noon show, Todd Alba, has been focusing a lot on this issue since it began. And it started down in Richland Center, which was where he went to school.
Sure.
I went to school here at the two-year campus in Wausau. So we've been very fortunate up to this point in terms of the discussions we've had, that it appears everything's okay. But
right.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very interesting topic. So I would encourage anybody that does think that these two-year campuses in the UW system is very important, and also to learn a bit about what has happened, because this has been a story that's really exploded over the last couple of years. So again, that's at 5:30 today.
Yep, 5:30 tonight.
Right here downtown.
Yeah, right here downtown. Yep. And it's especially relevant too, because our campus is so close.
Yes.
And it's right here in our community. And so to see how that,
very,
you know,
very, very impressive indeed. Very, very interesting. What else is coming up here at the library as well?
Yeah, so we have a couple events for kids happening this week. And the Wausau School District has a couple no school days coming up. And so we try and offer some extra activities on those days just to keep families occupied. So here at Wausau, we'll be making some Franken pumpkins, we're calling them. We'll have some little pumpkin cutouts just on paper, nothing messy. And we'll have different facial features, like different eyes and noses and just random things cut out from different places, and they can create their own Franken pumpkins. And we'll have a wall with a little Franken pumpkin patch that they can add them to and kind of see how that grows over the 3 days. So that'll be fun.
You say that it's not messy. I think it would be better for the kids if it was messy.
Well, for the kids, yes.
Not for you,
yes.
Not for anybody else there. But,
okay. Yeah, not for the parents who have to go home and clean up paint. But yeah, no, that one will be pretty fun. And then we have a spooky movie marathon coming for kids. Not too spooky. Over the past couple weeks at our Wausau location, kids had the opportunity to vote for which movies they wanted to watch. After they checked out items, they were given some stickers, and they were able to vote. They had 10 different choices, and they settled on Wednesday, October 23rd, we'll be watching Trick or Treat Scooby-Doo. classic, you know.
Very good.
Thursday, the 24th, we'll be showing The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, classic.
Halloween or Christmas flick. I don't know.
Well, it's Tim Burton. You can't lose with him.
Right,
he's
right.
He's fantastic.
So that one's on Thursday. And then on Friday, Monsters, Inc.
Oh.
So not a classic Halloween movie, but Monsters. Can't go wrong with that. So those will be starting at 2 p.m. every day upstairs in our community room at the Wausau location.
Fantastic. And again, it's nice to get the kids voting, even if it's for Halloween movies.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
In fact, it's crazy. You're just talking about this Halloween stuff, and I thought, it's not that close. And I look at my little calendar here down there. It's the 22nd. That's next week is Halloween.
Yep.
So
yeah, we know it.
You're exactly right on top of it.
Yeah.
And again, these are all activities that are going on here at the downtown branch.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there anything else going on, whether here downtown or at some of the branches as
Also here downtown, on Thursday for teens, we have Dungeons and Dragons. So teens who are interested in that, just kind of a one-shot. You don't have to be, it's not an ongoing campaign. So if you're like, this is the only one I can make it to, then we want you to join us. That one is one that we ask you to register for on our website, just to make sure that we have enough spots for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that is mcpl.us. Right on there, you just register, super easy. And then out at our branches in Rothschild this week, they also have some no school days on Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have what they're calling a calendar confusion breakout box. So kind of like an escape room, but the box is going to be locked on the table. And so you'll have to solve all kinds of different puzzles and riddles to see if you can break out and... you know, figure out the school schedule. That's the...
You're going to get Ian all excited. He's big into these escape rooms.
I am a big fan of escape rooms.
yeah, as am I. Super fun. Yeah.
So that's at Rothschild coming up.
That's at Rothschild. Yep, that one's kind of for tweens and teens, kind of in that age range. But yeah, Thursday and Friday during the day. And then next week at the branches, just kind of some crafty things coming up out in Marathon City. They're having a fall craft week for kids. So all week long, anytime they're open, just stop on in, and they're going to have a variety of fall themed crafts. So always fun to see what you can create.
Again, we're talking to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library here on 98.9 WXCO. And I think, again, we always try to underline the fact that people should take advantage, not just to come here to downtown, but use those branch libraries.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's actually a really cool aspect that people don't have to, if they're in Marathon City, you don't make the 15, 20-minute drive over here. But, I mean, there's a number throughout the entire county. Do you recall how many different branches there are?
Yeah, we have 9 locations total. So our WASA headquarters, and then we have 8 branches spread out throughout the county.
Yeah, right to the border, I think, in Stratford, right?
Correct, yep. So, I mean, yep, that's from Stratford to Hatley, so really all sides.
And the thing about it is you bring a lot of these same kind of activities right to the branches as well.
Yeah, we really try our best to get, you know, our activities and programs at the branches to just get, you know, the members of those communities involved too and into their libraries and to meet other folks.
And I was looking at the Facebook page, which has a lot of great information about what's going on in the Marathon County Public Library system. And there's a lot of events for next month talking about book clubs. And there are book clubs within every branch as well. So if you're looking maybe to have that connection with others, mm-hmm. to be able to talk about books, you can do it right at your local branch and not also have to come all the way here downtown as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Most of our locations have book clubs that meet once a month. And really, the books have a pretty wide variety. You know, there's some that are historical fiction, and then there's some newer romance. There's some nonfiction thrown in there. So really a little something for everybody.
And that's the thing as well. As I was looking, it had, you know, talking about whether it was in Stratford or whether it was in Rothschild or Mosinee. They're all different books.
They are, so, yes.
So
yes.
I was half expecting when I was paging down to see, hey, they're all going to be the same books. But no, that's not the case at all. So again, for folks that are interested in not just being able to have, I mean, it's wonderful to sit back in your own big easy chair at home and read the book, but to be able to talk about these books, take advantage of those opportunities. And again, check it out either on the Facebook page or at the website as well. Before we wrap things up, we got a little less than a minute to go. Is there anything else that we want to make sure that people know about coming up?
Yeah. So in November, actually, we'll just jump ahead a little bit, but November is International Games Month, and so we're really trying to celebrate that big here in WASA. Every Saturday in November, we're going to have a big gaming event, and so our first one on November 2nd is going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's a mini gaming convention is what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
So folks can just stop in anytime between 10 and 4. We're going to have a wide variety of board games set out. Mysterium, Betrayal at House on the Hill, Forbidden Island. And then we're also going to have some RPG taste test sessions, so role-playing games. For anyone who's interested in those and you haven't had a chance to try it yet, come on into the library and we'll kind of show you the basics of how to get started.
Fantastic. And again, I know there's a lot of other activities going on
all the time.
So check out mcpl.us. Mm-hmm. Check out the Marathon County Public Library on Facebook as well. Robin, it's been fun.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Robin Vargas, marketing at the Marathon County Public Library. The time is almost 9:19. We're going to take a quick time out and be right back. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Thanks again to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library. She'll join us every other Tuesday, talk about activities going on at the library. Coming up in just a little bit at 9:34, we'll talk to Emily Horn, former Biden-Harris Administration National Security Council member. So we'll talk to her about some national security issues that the next president will face not too long from now. And of course, we are just 14 days away from Election Day. And again, man, it's hard to believe how quickly it's coming, but at the same time, it feels like it's been a slog as well. One story I really didn't talk about yesterday or so far today was over the weekend, just the garbage that was coming out from Donald Trump in Pennsylvania talking about Arnold Palmer. In fact, I have a book. I was going to bring it in today.
You're talking bad about him?
No, well, but I have a book, The Autobiography of Arnold Palmer. Donald Trump talked about Arnold Palmer's genitalia over the weekend. I don't know. Did you not hear anything? That was like the big story.
my dad's not going to be happy about
just
that.
Just crude. It was crude. And Arnold Palmer was a Republican. Great golfer, but he's a Republican. He was great friends with Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower, former president of the United States, obviously a hero of World War II, was a member of Augusta National Golf Club. And Arnold Palmer won some of his biggest tournaments at the Masters at Augusta National. But despite being a Republican, a few years ago in 2020, this was after Arnold Palmer had passed away, his daughter talked about Donald Trump and Arnold Palmer's relationship, or that lack thereof, that Arnold Palmer saw a different side of Trump during the presidential campaign of 2016. And Arnold Palmer's daughter said, "My dad didn't like people who act like they're better than other people." And that was it. I mean, Arnold Palmer may have been a Republican, but he was somebody that was of the people. And yeah, somebody that worked hard to get where he was. And Donald Trump is not a guy that's ever worked hard in his life. He's basically cheated people his entire life. He said, and Arnold Palmer's daughter said, he had no patience for people who are dishonest and cheat. And on the golf course, and I'm sure your dad knows this, honor is such a big factor. Honesty. You call your own penalties in golf. Are somebody that has to be honest on the golf course. And Arnold Palmer's daughter said, my dad was disciplined. He wanted to be a good role model. He was appalled by Trump's lack of civility and what he began to see as Trump's lack of character. One moment stood out in her mind from the 2016 campaign when Mr. Palmer saw Mr. Trump on television. My dad made a sound of disgust, like uck or ugh, like he couldn't believe the arrogance and crudeness of this man who is the nominee of the political party that he believed in. Then he said, he's not as smart as we thought he was. Ms. Palmer asked herself, what would my dad think of Donald Trump today? I think he'd cringe. And he'd definitely cringe after the vulgar comments that he made over the weekend at the Arnold Palmer Airport in Pennsylvania. So, again, you can be a Republican, I think, and be outraged by what you hear from Donald Trump. And, in fact, I wanted to play. I had a little technical issue with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I think this has to do, again, similar thoughts that we just heard from Arnold Palmer's daughter. The fact that people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk basically want people below them in their economic station to dance for them. And that's I wanted to play again what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said at a campaign appearance yesterday in Pennsylvania that I thought just hit it on the head when it came to Musk and Trump.
We see Elon Musk coming in here. I mean, we got to talk about what this guy's doing, right?
Yeah.
He's not only just dumping millions and millions of dollars here in the state of Pennsylvania, acting like he's from here, acting like he knows what Pennsylvania is about. It's not just what he's doing. He's doing these little, I don't know, these little contests where he's promising people $1 million in some kind of lottery giveaway if they sign up for his list. And I want us to put together what those two things are like. When you have a billionaire just dangling $1 million to those of us and many of us who are struggling to make ends meet if they dance for him. Mm-hmm. You've got Donald Trump putting on a little McDonald's costume because he thinks that's what people do. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to empathize with us. They are making fun of us.
Yes.
They are making fun of us. Donald Trump thinks that people who work at McDonald's are a joke. Elon Musk thinks that dangling money in front of a working person is a cute thing to do when the election of our lives is before us. Because that's what people and billionaires like that do. They have absolutely no idea what our lives are like. And so they think this callousness is a way of connecting. It's not a way of connecting. Because you and I both know that when that camera turns on and they turn around and go into their car, they're laughing at us. They think we are the suckers. And they said that publicly. That's why Elon Musk thinks that your vote can be bought with a dollar. That's why he thinks that if you put a bunch of money on a mailer and shove it in your mailbox, you'll just do whatever he says. But Pennsylvania, we're smarter than that, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We don't take orders from billionaires, do we? We don't allow our elections to be bought, don't we? No, we do not. Because we are going to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and send them to the White House.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about, again, what people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk basically think of the American people. They think they could just pull out their wallet, toss some money out there, and have these folks dive after it, dance for them. I think that was a perfect way of putting it.
Shameful.
That Elon Musk just wants to use his money to have people dance for him. And I just think that she hit it on the head again. And we see way too much of this. We're becoming too much of an oligarchy in terms of the power of money to basically run every aspect of our lives. And I think we have to take a step back and take a hard look at that, where we see folks basically trying to buy elections through millions and millions of dollars of advertising and take away the voice of the great mass of American people out there. And I think the people themselves have to say enough is enough. The time is 9:29, and coming up next, we're going to talk more about the presidential campaign and look at it from a national security point of view. Very excited to be able to talk to Emily Horn, former Biden-Harris administration National Security Council member. That's coming up after an information update here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We are 14 days away from the presidential election. Yes, we have been inundated with commercials, and we are ground zero among the four or five states that ultimately will choose the next president of the United States. But there's so much more to what we have been seeing on these 30 and 60 second commercials, these third party ads. There are serious issues that the next president of the United States will have to deal with. And wanted to talk a little bit about the national security aspect of it. And we are very happy to welcome to the program Emily Horn, who is a former special assistant to the president of the United States, former spokesperson for the National Security Council in the Biden-Harris administration. And Emily, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks, Chad. Great to be with you.
One of the things I wanted to talk about, because I was just saying to you before we went on the air that I'm a bit of a history buff. And when you look at presidential transitions, and one of the things that, whether it's within party or new party coming in, there's a lot that has to be done with a transition to stay up to speed, especially on national security. And can you talk a little bit about what the next president has on the plate to begin with when it comes to national security, just to be up to speed on a lot of the issues that they're going to be facing from the very first minute after taking the oath of office?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I'm a historian by training, too. So I always like to look to history and think about You know, transitions, as you note, are typically about one administration ensuring that the new administration is going to be set up for best possible success, because that's ultimately what is in the American people's interest. You want a peaceful transition of power. You want to have both our allies and our adversaries trusting that we're going to keep our word, that we're going to keep our commitments, and that we're going to keep on advocating for the American people's safety and freedom and values on the world stage. So I have worked the transition from Barack Obama to Donald Trump, and I worked the transition from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And look, Chad, I got to tell you, you do not want Trump people in charge of our national security. That is a scary, scary prospect that we are facing in 2025. Our allies and our adversaries are watching this election very, very closely. And frankly, our allies are very scared by the prospect of a second Trump presidency. They know that a second Trump presidency is going to likely result in Trump threatening to abandon our allies and friends in NATO, potentially even pulling the United States out of NATO, which he has threatened to do. It's going to result in an emboldened Vladimir Putin trying to take over Ukraine and really pressing for a deal that gives him control over that country. It's going to result in an emboldened Xi Jinping, who is going to be watching what's happening in Ukraine and Europe and licking his chops as he's thinking to himself, Donald Trump is not going to stop my expansions and my plans for Taiwan. And it's going to result in the U.S. retreating from the world stage. It's not just us in Washington that will be paying the price for that. It's American taxpayers who are going to be experiencing a Trump tax that's going to put about $4,000 annually worth of additional expenses as a result of the Trump trade war that he intends to wage against China. It's going to result in a loss of manufacturing jobs that the Biden administration and Vice President Harris have helped to bring back to the industrial Midwest. And it's going to result in an America that's just much less safe and less stable and secure under a Trump leadership. I'm very worried about that prospect, and I think your listeners should be too.
You just basically gave a full-throated endorsement, I think, of the current administration and the future administration that would be under Vice President Harris. While we see a lot of folks who have seen Donald Trump up close in person say they don't think he should be back behind the Resolute desk and making these huge decisions, let me ask you, before I ask you about Donald Trump, let's talk about Vice President Harris. Why yes. are you comfortable feeling that she would be a person that would be more than ready, more than experienced, somebody that we can trust to make these life and death situations for our troops, for people around the world, before? Because, I mean, we've heard those who say Donald Trump is not that person. Why is Vice President Harris that person as somebody that you've worked with?
Absolutely. I have had the privilege of working with Vice President Harris, and I have seen her firsthand in the Situation Room dealing with some of the scariest and most tense issues in national security. Think the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Think terrorist attacks on our troops. Think missiles being launched by an adversary. And in those moments, you need a leader like Vice President Harris, who is making quick, sharp, smart decisions. She's asking questions of experts. She is making the hard choices that a commander-in-chief has to be able to make. She's listening to her team, but she is owning her choices. And she's doing so with our values and our interests front of mind. All Donald Trump cares about is himself. He doesn't take responsibility for any of his own decisions. He passes the buck to people around him. He blames his staff. He blames other people. He's happy to take credit when things go right. But when things go wrong, he says, I didn't do it. It's not my fault. And look, we've seen this time and again, Chad. All Donald Trump cares about on the world stage is flattery, is attention, and credit. He will listen to dictators and kiss up to them if they flatter him or give him compliments. He stood on that stage in Helsinki in 2017 next to Vladimir Putin, and he said that he believed Putin over the word of U.S. intelligence agencies. I can't tell you the crippling morale effect that that had on the men and women who serve our country in uniform, as diplomats, as intelligence professionals, people who literally risk their lives and have dedicated their lives to serving our country. To hear the commander-in-chief stand next to one of our greatest adversaries, Vladimir Putin, and say, I believe him over my own intelligence community. We can't possibly give this person another chance at being commander-in-chief. He has utterly failed to support the American people on the world stage. And if given another opportunity, he will fail us all again.
Again, we're talking to Emily Horn, former senior advisor, special assistant to the President of the United States, former spokesperson for the National Security Council here on 98.9 WXCO. There's a glibness as well for Trump when it comes to some of these issues of vital importance, national security. When he says things like, well, if I was in charge, the Ukraine war would never have happened. But if I was in charge, that the Israeli-Hamas war would never have happened. That basically just he has this magical spell over everybody around the world. As somebody that sees all the information that comes in, that knows the seriousness of everything that occurs around the globe when it comes to military action, when you hear the glibness of Trump when he talks about these issues, what goes through your mind and the minds of professionals who deal with this on an everyday basis?
Glib is a good word for it, Chad. It's incredibly irresponsible. And I think we need to step back and remember how bad things actually were when Donald Trump was president. Look at what he wrought in his own presidency. We were at the brink of conflict with Iran after he pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal that President Obama had brokered. And now, thanks to that, thanks to Trump unilaterally pulling out, Iran is closer than ever to acquiring a nuclear weapon and threatening our ally Israel. We came dangerously close to nuclear conflict with North Korea before Donald Trump decided to, you know, basically make foreign policy by tweet. It was an incredibly scary moment. Tensions with China were at an all-time high under a Trump presidency. Our alliances were crumbling, and we heard over and over from our trusted friends and allies around the world that they didn't think that they could trust that the U.S. would stand up and do the right thing against a dictator like Vladimir Putin. To say nothing of that whole global pandemic thing that happened. I know everybody wants to memory hole COVID and what a horrible time that was, but we are being really, really irresponsible if we don't remind ourselves that under Donald Trump, a million Americans died preventable deaths, the economy cratered, and our kids were all out of school for a year and lost a year of their lives just because Donald Trump couldn't get it together and actually follow the advice of his own experts, his own people working for him, and organize a good response to the COVID crisis.
That brings us almost back to where we started in terms of transitions, because we just heard President Obama speak in Nevada, I think over the weekend, about how they had a plan, that it was given to the Trump administration during that transition. Mm-hmm. And you can go back again, back to when President Clinton left and President Bush came in, the information that was given about Al-Qaeda. Again, there is a certain life and death importance of these transitions and the choices that are made in these elections, aren't there?
Absolutely. So I'll tell you a little story about that. So I was a career civil servant at the State Department on detail over to the Obama White House. And so I technically worked for the Trump administration for 3 days at the beginning of the Trump administration. And I can tell you, as part of the team that facilitated that peaceful transfer of power, we gave the Trump team literal playbooks about what to do in the event of a global pandemic, in the event of a terrorist attack, in the event that North Korea launches an ICBM. We had plans for all of these things, and we gave them all to the Trump people because good politicians, good leaders care more about country than party or ego. And we worked very hard under President Obama to facilitate a peaceful transition of power to the Trump administration. We took a lot of pride in that, in fact, even though it was really difficult. The Trump administration threw it all out. They didn't use anything. They listened to quacks. They listened to hacks. What they didn't do was listen to their own experts. And I think that's why you now see former Trump administration officials, all the way up to his own vice president, say that Donald Trump is unfit to serve as commander in chief, that he is feckless, that he is reckless, that he is not to be trusted, that our adversaries are waiting with bated breath, hoping that he will be elected.
And finally, I want to go back to Ukraine, because if you go back to their administration where, you know, basically Trump tried to blackmail the president of Ukraine for campaign information. And then now speaking, as you talk about, you know, talking about his admiration for Putin, And also about the Western Alliance. I mean, there's so many threads that are involved within the Ukrainian conflict with Russia. What's the most important things we need to be thinking about as voters, as American citizens, when it comes to this issue and the comparison of the two candidates, and what it would mean for our alliances in the future, and what it would mean for potential conflict in the future if Donald Trump is making the decisions on whether or not to continue supporting Ukraine?
Yeah, so I think it's good to break it down into three categories. First, what a Trump presidency would mean for Ukraine. A Trump presidency means that Vladimir Putin is going to be sitting in Kyiv. And if you want to know what is going to happen to President Zelensky and the people of Ukraine, then ask Alexei Navalny's widow what happens to people who stand up to Vladimir Putin, because we've got a very clear picture of what is going to happen if Putin is allowed to take over Ukraine, which all evidence points to Trump would allow that to happen. So that means no accountability for the war crimes that Russia has committed against Ukraine, no accountability for the 20,000 Ukrainian children kidnapped by Russia, or the survivors of mass rape and sexual assault used by Russian soldiers as a weapon of war, no accountability for the tens of thousands of civilians who have been killed. Let's talk about what this means for Europe and NATO. Putin is going to be sitting in Kyiv, and he's going to be thinking about where to go next. That could be Georgia or Moldova. That could be other non-NATO or non-EU European countries. It could also mean NATO. And one thing that the Biden administration has been very clear about that I fully expect to continue under Harris, Waltz administration, is that we are going to defend every square inch of NATO territory. The United States of America and the European alliance are strong and unshakable. Donald Trump is the only person in the United States who seriously thinks that this is a bad deal for America, when history goes over and over again that we are stronger with our allies. We are stronger when we stand together with our friends, not just in confronting Putin, but in managing the complexities of our relationship with China, managing responsible growth of technology, making sure that democracies are writing the rules of the road for the 21st century. But finally, let's talk about what this means for the American people. First of all, there's just the pure moral case that helping Ukraine defend itself and standing up for the principle that no country should be allowed to invade and conquer another country just because it wants to in the 21st century, that we as Americans, we don't stand for that, that we are better than that, and we stand up for our friends. But let's also talk about what this would mean for the American economy. Right now in Wisconsin, the defense industrial base has hugely benefited from the from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And let me explain why that actually is.
We only got a few seconds to go, Emily.
Okay. About 30 seconds. Just say this. Almost $500 million has gone to Wisconsin in the last year to help revitalize America's defense industrial base. I fully expect that will continue under Harris administration. Withdrawal from Ukraine is going to cut off that flow.
Man, I wish we didn't have a hard break, because very, very interesting indeed. And I really appreciate all the information on a very important aspect that people do have to think about. We don't see a lot of the commercials that are running all the time here in Wisconsin, but it's very, very important for the future, not only of the country and of the world. Emily Horn, thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Chad. Great to be with you all.
We will be right back here on 98.9 WX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is Tuesday, October the 22nd of 2024. There are 70 days remaining in this year. It's day number 296, coming close to number 300, and down to 70 before we flip the calendar to 2025. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Going back to 1746, Princeton University in New Jersey received its charter. On this date in 1968, Apollo 7 with astronauts Wally Schirra, Don Fulton Eisel, and R. Walter Cunningham aboard returned to Earth. On this date in 2008, Google Play was launched, the official app store for the Android operating system. On this date in 2012, based on the findings of a systematic doping investigation, Lance Armstrong was banned for life for participating in International Cycling Union-sanctioned events and stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. On this date in 2016, AT&T purchased Time Warner, which is now known as Warner Media, for $85.4 billion. And on this date in 2018, actress Selma Blair revealed that she had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Christopher Lloyd from Taxi and also the Back to the Future films, turning 86 years old today. Actor Jeff Goldblum is 72. Actor Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, Mr. Show as well. Bob Odenkirk is 62 years old today. Comedian Carlos Mencia is 57. Reggae singer Shaggy turns 56. Actor Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family is 49. Actor Michael Fishman of Roseanne is 43. Jonathan Lipnicki, played the kid in Jerry Maguire, is 34. And Elias Harger, Max on Fuller House, 17 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Clean Up the Earth Day. It is Eat a Pretzel Day. It is International Caps Lock Day.
So, oh, yes.
It is this one, I think we're going to honor you today because what you've been able to accomplish.
Aww.
It is International Stuttering Awareness Day.
Oh.
And you've been able to work here on the radio, work on stage, and as you said, you've told us, you've battled a stutter your entire life, right?
Yeah, thanks to the speech therapist at the University of Stevens Point, I was able to make a lot of ground with my stuttering, and I was able to, you know, not only get better control of it, but also have a more, you know, understanding feeling that it's not a weakness, it's right. Actually a strength.
So again, today we're going to acknowledge, you know, International Stuttering Awareness Day. It is Color Day. It is Knee Day. So
knee day.
Think of your knees today. Make a Dog's Day. So
aww.
Be nice to a dog.
Absolutely.
It is Nut Day, a.k.a. Donald Trump Day. No.
I thought you were talking about like the peanuts.
Nah, I think it's in the Nut Day, yeah. The nuts.
The snack, yeah.
Sparkling Water Day. Smart is Cool Day.
Yeah.
And Wombat Day. All righty then. Time for our number for the day quiz.
That's right.
And Ian gets 3 choices. So based on the math, he should get 1 out of every 3 right. So 33% is always the goal for the pass-fail. But you want to get more right than wrong for the week to be a true winning week.
Yes, I
and
do.
And then want to try to get to his all-time best week, which is 4 out of 5. And we want to try to get to a perfect week.
Yeah, that golden record.
Exactly. So we're going to try to do that as well. Try to go 5 for 5. And you have a chance. 1 for 1 this week. So let's see if we can make it 2 for 2.
Oh, yes.
Our number for the day. The number of meteorites that scientists are aware of.
Ooh.
So how many meteorites out there that are that scientists are aware of?
That's a good question.
All right. Is the correct answer 7,000? Is the correct answer 35,000? Is the correct answer 70,000?
That's quite a jump.
7 to 35 to 70. So between 7 and 35 is 28,000. Between 35 and 70,000 is 35,000. So almost equal. But
okay.
7,000, 35,000, 70,000.
How many meteorites are scientists
aware of?
Aware
they
of.
Actually know they're out there. They're not guessing on this. How many are they
yeah,
aware
I'm
of?
I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say 35,000. I'm going with the middle answer again. I'm going to say 35,000. That's my final answer.
The correct answer, the number of meteorites that scientists are aware of is, we're not going to have the middle number 2 days in a row. Come on. 70,000.
What? I was thinking.
70,000 is our number. So
it's a lot of meteorites.
One for two. I guess this week will not be the magic week. We will not get 5 to 5, but you still have lots to play for. As
you still get a 4 out of 5, though.
Thanks to our guest today, Maria Haskins, Wisconsin Native Vote Manager, Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library, and Emily Horn, former Biden-Harris Administration National Security Council spokesperson. Tomorrow, Bob Look for the first hour, Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, and Josh Earnest, President Obama Press Secretary. So it should be a very interesting discussion as well. Have a great rest of your day, Ian.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Matt and Air on Air coming up next on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.